Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Narayanam Namaste
Naran.
Naram Cheva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvati Vyasa. Tato Jaya Mudurai. Nasta Praisa Padresu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttama Sloke. Bhakti Bhavaiti Naistiki. So, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 1, Text 25. And it's all happening in Krishna house. Anandako se sarirasmi. Saptavarana samyute.
Saptavarana samyute.
Vairaja purusho yosa.
Vairaja purusho yosa.
Bhagavan dharanashraya.
Bhagavan dharanashraya.
Andako se sarirasmi.
Andako se sarirasmi.
Saptavarana samyute.
Saptavarana samyute.
Vairaja purusho yosa.
Vairaja purusho yosa.
Bhagavan dharanashraya.
Bhagavan dharanashraya.
Translation and purport by the Divine Grace is from Pandacharya, Srila Bhajan of Vinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Papa Maharaj Ki. Srila Prabhupada Ki. So, word for word translation. Andako se. Within the universal shell. Sarire. In the body of. Asmin. This. Sapta. Sevenfold. Avarana. Coverings. Samyute. Having so done. Vairajaha. The gigantic universal. Purusaha. Form of the Lord. Yaha. That. Asa. He. Bhagavan. The personality of Godhead. Dharana. Conception. Astrayaha. Object of. Translation. The gigantic universal form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead within the body of the universal shell, which is covered by sevenfold material elements, is the subject for the Vairat conception. Please responsibly repeat. The gigantic universal form of the Personality of Godhead. Within the body of the universal shell.
Within the body of the universal shell.
which is covered by sevenfold material elements, is the subject for the Virat conception. Purport. It's actually Prabhupada's purport that of more significance to us than even the main text. So let's listen with rapt attention what Prabhupada has to say about this very verse. Simultaneously, the Lord has multifarious other forms, and all of them are identical with the original fountainhead form of the Lord, Sri Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita, it has been proven that the original transcendental and eternal form of the Lord is Sri Krishna, the absolute personality of Godhead. But by his inconceivable internal potency, Atma Maya, he can expand himself by multifarious forms and incarnations simultaneously without being diminished in his full potency. He is complete. And although innumerable complete forms emanated from him, he is still complete without any loss. That is his spiritual or internal potency. In the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the personality of God, Lord Krishna, manifested his Virat Rupa just to convince the less intelligent class of men who cannot conceive of the Lord as appearing just like a human being, that he factually has the potency of his claim to be the supreme absolute person without any rival or superior. Materialistic men can think, although very imperfectly, of the huge universal space, comprehending an innumerable number of planets as big as the sun. They can see only the secular sky overhead without any information that this universe, as well as many other hundreds of thousands of universes, are each covered by sevenfold material coverings of water, fire, air, sky, ego, nominum, and material nature, just like a huge football, pumped and covered, floating on the water of the causal ocean, wherein the Lord is lying as Mahavishnu. Who is bed? Who is bed? Part of a partial expansion of the Lord and all the universes presided over by the Brahmas vanish when the Mahavishnu withdraws his great breath. In this way, the material worlds are being created and vanished by the supreme will of the Lord. The poor, foolish materialist cannot just imagine how ignorantly he puts forward an insignificant creature to become his rival incarnation, simply on the allegations of a dying man. The Virat Rupa was particularly exhibited by the Lord just to give lessons to such foolish men, so that one can accept a person as the incarnation of Godhead only if such a person is able to exhibit such a Virat Rupa as Lord Krishna did. The materialistic person may concentrate his mind upon the Virat or gigantic form of the Lord in his own interest, and recommended by Sukadev Goswami. But he must be on his guard not to be misled by pretenders who claim to be the identical person as Lord Krishna, but are not able to act like him or exhibit the Virat Rupa comprehending the whole of the universe. Om Ajnanate Mirandhasya Jnananjana Salakaya
Satsuran militam jena tasmasi gurave namaha jichetanya manu vistam stafitam jena bhutale svayam rupam kadamayam dadati svapadantikam vanchakalpatarubhyacha vipasundhubhya evacha patitanam pavanibhyo vaishnavibhyo namo. So, I'm particularly glad to be here. And one obvious reason is that the Krishna House, Jalai ISKCON Alatra, is a very multicultural setting. Because Krishna encompasses all cultures. And he is also the embodiment of all embodied souls and of living entities. Therefore, we get enthused coming to places like this because, as we say, the material adage that variety is the spice of enjoyment. Isn't it? So, this is a very intriguing verse. Because then we find that in the purport, Srila Prabhupada addresses a number of issues. The first point is how people don't seem to identify or don't seem to take cognizance of the fact that Krishna is true Bhagavan Swayam, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Rather, if even people have some comprehension of the fact that God or the universes or the material world is an emanation from God, is created by God, then they have a negative conception that based on material rationalization, that, you know, if something is there and it expands, then traditionally it gets reduced. You're like a paper, if you have a sheet of paper, and you know, if you tear some part of the paper out, it has all the qualities of the main paper, but the point is the main paper is reduced. It's not going to be the same. So sometimes the Mayavadis and the Madhvacharya trash them, you know, with all these negative ideologies, negative philosophies, negative propositions. And so the point is, we can't compare a spiritual concepts, spiritual constructs, and even a spiritual personality with an element of that very personality, say the Bahiranga Shakti. So Krishna is the source of all of the energies. We have the Antaranga Shakti, Bahiranga Shakti, and the Tattvista. The Tattvista is a living entity, and the material nature, embodying the modes of nature, etc., and the different coverings, different elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, the different coverings of the universe, they are all emanations from Lord Krishna. And Jala Lord Krishna mentions in the Gita, Bhumi Apanala Vayu Kam Mana Buddhi Evacha Ahankar. These eight elements, Krishna mentions, these are my being a prakriti, my material elements, my eight separated energies. They are material by nature. And therefore, if we understand in principle that Lord Krishna is the source of everything, and the basic example that is given by the Vaishnav taste is that of the candle, not that of the paper. Because the Mayavadis, they present the analogy of the paper, but the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they present the analogy of the candle. Candlelight. So, if you lit we have one lit candle, and you get other ones to borrow light from there. You can have as many as possible. But it doesn't mean that there is a diminishing return with the original candle. But the original candle is still the original one, which is the source of light for all of the other candles. And so, it is important. And even traditionally, we have, you know, this light, this electricity and all this, and they're coming from a powerhouse. Right? And there is so much of expansion about electrical utilities. And so if someone builds a house, he has to set up, you know, some electrical system there. And then, you know, there'll be electrical supply. But it doesn't mean that the powerhouse is being reduced or is diminished in power, because it's the source of all of the electrical, you know, potencies, electrical currents, electric power we have in different houses. So in a similar way, Lord Krishna is never reduced simply because all of the material universes and even all living entities are emanations from Him. And Prabhupada discusses the completeness of Krishna, and that very completeness is delineated in the invocation of the Isho Upanishad. Who knows that? Students. All right. Om Purnam Ada Purnam Idam. That the Lord is complete. Not only is He complete, He is also perfect. And because He is complete and perfect, and all those so many emanations which are themselves complete are generated from Him, He still remains the complete balance. And if you read that invocation and the of the Isho Upanishad, Prabhupada gives in the purport, you know, elaborate ideas on how to comprehend the principal feature of the Lord being the absolute. We can't really relate to absolute reality in a material world, because all that we relate with is, you know, relativity. Today, you are schooling at UF, or today the Krishna Center is just adjacent to the UF. But tomorrow He may not be here, because the place, there could be so much of expansion that this place wouldn't contain anymore, and they would have to relocate, get a bigger place. So this is what we understand in relativity, that nothing is actually, you know, permanent, or nothing is actually in its fullness. Something may be full today. You're like, take for instance, I am hungry, and then have eaten. After taking a meal, I become full. But it doesn't mean that I'm going to be full forever. The next 2 hours, I'm going to be hungry again. But the Lord is complete and perfect. And because He's absolute, He is not diminished in any way. I mean, we have this lot of diminishing return in economics. Who is an economist here? Social scientist. Yeah. Okay. So, the principle of diminishing return brings to bear that, you know, take for instance, you want to drink water, you thirsty, and you have a jug of water, so someone is serving you, he gives you one cup, and then that cup, it goes very fast, you know, because you have so much been hankering for it, craving for water. It goes very fast. The second cup, you drink some, then you leave it. You have to drink like, you know, a big guy, you know, the big people, the rich guys, you know, they drink, even water, they drink small, they sip some, and then you keep it down. Because your hankering, your taste buds already satisfied. And there is a diminished form of appetite for what you've been looking for. But in spiritual matters, the more you hanker and the more you get, the more you actually hanker for more. Now, it's completely different from material conception. And, you know, devotees who have been chanting even the holy names, they could see, they see this in their daily lives. Now, for instance, if you are somebody who likes to chant before going to take a shower, some days you'll be late for program. You may even wake up at 2 o'clock or whatever, but you'll be late for program. Why? Because once you start chanting, you dive into it and you don't want to leave it. And even you see that it's time for you to go and take a shower. This is 4 o'clock, I'm going to Mangalati at 4:30. You may not be able to leave the chanting, okay? You have been doing it instead of having a diminishing return. Instead of becoming disgusted with it, you are actually becoming more and more enamored. This is the nature of absolute reality, a reality of which Krishna is the summum bonum. So his names, his words, his lilas, his paraphernalia, they are all absolute. Therefore, when we are dealing with all of these Krishna's expansions, the purusas, we have to understand that they are also absolute. And so, the invocation in the Upanishad brings to limelight how the Lord, although all of the universal expansions or universal emanations are being generated from Him, He still is not diminished in any way because He is the absolute truth. He is the absolute personality of Godhead. For other elements or other substances that are not absolute, once you take something away, that thing is becoming reduced. But the Lord is not like that. Like all of us are all emanations from the Supreme Lord, but He still remains a complete whole, Krishna. And therefore, we have to understand that the Lord's position is different from other living entities because He's absolute. And so we can't really measure His breadth and length. Nor can we really even estimate His potencies. And again, in the Purport, Prabhupada brings to bear how those who claim to be God, there are a number of false incarnations. It's very easy for someone to come to tell us that I am the Jesus that has been expected. Or I'm an incarnation of Lord Krishna. I am Bhagavan. Why? Look, I can produce arches. Or I can produce gold. But, you see, for a devotee, people of this type cannot deceive them. But for the ordinary person out there, suppose someone starts walking 6 inches above the ground. How would people look at him? So, and then he comes to claim, I am God. He's walking and he's moving, but he's not touching the ground. And he says, I am God. Just worship me. So I have come to save you. I think that people will rush after him because they've never seen that. even in a place like India, people get bewildered. People are deceived by manipulation of the illusory energy by some yogis, people who profess to be incarnations of God. How much less other countries where, you know, spirituality is not so intense. But we understand that Lord Krishna demonstrated his universal form to Arjuna for several reasons. And one reason Prabhupada mentions here in the purport is that people will come in the future to claim that they are God. So the first litmus test is, okay, I agree that you are God. But you know what? I heard that for someone to be God, he can manifest his Vairarupa or his universal form. Please, once you do that, I'm ready to surrender unto you. I remember in Nigeria, you know, some devotees went out on Sankirtan, and then one guy who claims to be God, he met him, and then he's just a new devotee, like 6 months in the movement. So he met his devotee and he said, come, you're wasting your time selling someone's books. I am the God that you've been looking for. I'm here. Why are you wasting your time? Just come to me. And so this devotee was very clever. So he told this guy, and this guy was actually terrorizing people all over the place that, you know, he's God and utilizing so-called his magical powers, mystical powers, to bewilder people. But because the devotees, they know about, you know, the different yogic powers. So someone comes to display some yogic powers and claims to be God, doesn't make any meaning to them. They will challenge you. So this boy, he challenged this guy. And the guy was very surprised for a small boy to challenge him. Because nobody ever challenges him. So this devotee mentioned to him, yes, I'm ready to follow you to an ashram to actually be your servant, worship you as God, as you claim. I want you to help me to do one thing. He said, tell me, I can do anything for you. He said, you know what? God is different from us. Why? Because he can display his Bharat-rupa or universal form, like Lord Krishna did to Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. That is the way and the only way for me to identify you as God. Please show me a universal form. And, you know, this mystic so-called incarnation of God, he just looked at this devotee and said, you have been brainwashed. You've been brainwashed. That was a defeat. So he left the boy. He went away. Now, assuming he met someone who doesn't know about the science of God, and that's how these false incarnations that go about, you know, getting followership, deceiving people, deceiving the masses. I think recently some denomination, Christian denomination, we are making some proclamation that the world was going to end recently. What date was that? May 21st. And, you know, they've been doing that over the years, you know. I remember several years back, also we had some prophecy from some Christian denomination, some prophet saying that, you know, the world is going to end on such a date, and that, you know, whatever you have to simply use it up and do, you know, enjoy yourself as much as possible because the world is going to come to an end. And that was an opportunity for sinful-minded people to explore material nature to their full. But, you know, that date came and nothing happened. So, for the devotees, we're not going to be bewildered by such proclamation or such prophecy by, you know, unreliable miscreants who are masquerading as incarnations or as prophets of God or whatever. Therefore, it is important for us to understand this simple principle Prabhupada has given in his purport. If someone claims to you that he is God, don't make argument with the person. Just beg the person to display his universal form. And that is a very simple way to kick out these false incarnations of God. So, principally, the devotees of Lord Krishna understand that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. And although he has different futures, the Paramatma future and the Brahman future, all of these other futures, according to Prabhupada, They are temporary. Even the Paramatma future is temporary. Paramatma future is temporary. How? Because the Paramatma, for instance, we have the Mahavishnu, then we have the Garbhodakashaya Vishnu, then we have the Shirodakashaya Vishnu. Now the Mahavishnu is basically responsible for generating different universes just by what? His breathing. So we could also say that we are also creating universes by our breathing, but we don't see anybody creating universes by his breathing. So the Mahavishnu generates universes by his simple breath. And when he inhales, that is universal cataclysm, universal destruction. Imagine somebody, his breathing creates. And when he breathes out, there's creation. When he breathes in, his inhalation and exhalation creates and destroys. Could that be a common person? No. Therefore, the Vedic literature, specifically the Bhagavad Purana, the Bhagavatam that we are using, is so explicit and so graphic in the process of creation. You see, if you read other literatures, other, you know, scriptures, they tell you God, for instance, in biblical literature, they mention about how God created, you know, the heaven and the earth in 6 days, and then the seventh day he rested. And for someone who is studying the Vedic literature, that does not make any sense. Because God doesn't need to rest. Why? Because he doesn't get tired. And of course, that is the whole idea is also just hanging in the balance. There is no graphic details. And that is why, you know, the scientists or the atheists, they say there is no God. That those things you are talking about is just some dogma. You can prove anything. But the science of Krishna consciousness, if even we follow the Vedic creationism, it is very scientific, very graphic. How the Mahavishnu breathes out, exhales, and there is a generation of universes. And each and every universe, Mahavishnu expands again into Garbhodakashaya Vishnu to be able to oversee the universe. And again from Garbhodakashaya Vishnu, there is an expansion of the Lord as Shirodakashaya Vishnu. Just to be able to preside in each and every one's heart region. For what? To be able to inspire us, to motivate us, and to monitor us. Sarvasya Saham Ridhi Sanyavistu Mata Smriti Jnanam Apoham Vedaisa Sabai Aham Eva Vidya Vedanta Creed Veda Vid Eva Saham. So, Krishna mentions specifically in the Gita 15:15 that I am situated in each and everyone's heart. And he mentions what he does there. What's his duty there? What is his objective? If someone is doing something, there must be some goal. You have a vision. You have to have some goals. And then you have to strategize how to achieve that goal. Krishna wanted to monitor each and every one of us. And to be able to achieve that goal, he expands as the Shirodakashaya Vishnu, and he's a witness in each and every one of our hearts. And so we do the good things and we think that, I was just anonymous. You know, sometimes I was on a seminar at Howard Business School. And, some of the participants, because it was an online seminar, so some of the participants, they don't want their names, they say anonymous. So, But the Lord, we can't really be anonymous to the Lord because He's there as the witness to everything we do. And not only as a witness, but He is also the source of our information culture. Sometimes, you know, modern-day technologies is proud of its technological innovations. But the Lord is actually the source of our innovation. And that is why a number of scientists who discovered, you know, different principles and generated theories and whatever, they were inspired. And one of them, I think Archimedes, he was in a bathroom. And he practically like ran out nude. Huh? Right. Right. I got it. You had to pin it down. So he had to run. But why is the source of that? Krishna said he's the source of knowledge. But for those who also want to be dull-witted, Krishna gives them also that inspiration. If we want to forget Him, He gives us that inspiration. Therefore, the primal objective for anyone to move ahead is desire. If we have a desire, Krishna basically will try and fulfill our desire. But we have to be careful about what we desire. I remember, I was telling this story some time back. One of my friends in Delhi, at that time he was still schooling. So he sent me a mail, surprising mail. And he said, "Oh Maharaj, you know what?" I said, "What is it? Tell me." He said he didn't want to go to the parikram that, you know, the devotees were going. So he went to the deities and prayed to Krishna. That Krishna, I don't want to go to this parikram. I don't want to go for this trip. But I can't tell these devotees that I don't want to go. So please do something that they will be convinced that, you know, I can't really go with them. That was his prayer. Was that a bad prayer? But guess what happened to him? Huh? Nearly. Almost to the point. But it's more ghastly than that. He had an accident. Just by making that prayer to Lord Krishna, he had an accident in the next couple of days. And in that way, no one could come and tell him, "Let's go for it. Follow us to the parikram." So this is why Krishna basically sometimes could be funny. Sometimes we pray to Krishna for good things and it takes a long time. So the point is, Krishna is in our hearts. He is the source of everything. He has been fulfilling everyone's desire since time immemorial. But the good things, you know, Krishna sometimes is funny. The good things, Krishna hardly will give. Take for instance, the best of good things is pure bhakti. Krishna hardly will give that. Why? Because if He gives that, you will be a control freak for Him. You control it. Who wants to be controlled? Tell me. Is anybody here who wants to be controlled? Especially when you're above 18 in America. Nobody wants to be controlled. So Krishna also doesn't want to be controlled. Therefore, He hardly will give bhakti to someone. Although it's there in our hearts, other things He may easily give. Therefore, if we understand the science of Krishna consciousness in depth, we will never be deceived by these false gods who are roaming the streets of major cities and who are claiming that they can fulfill everyone's desire, but they can't really send anyone back home, back to Godhead. So Prabhupada basically brought this up in a purport just to give us some idea of what to really rely on, or what to hold on to, if someone comes to claim that he or she is God. He should first show his universal form. In this way, nobody can come to deceive you anywhere you go. See, most of you are students. You finish from UF, go to other parts of the world. But the information, the knowledge that you are getting from the Krishna house through the help of His grace, Kalakanta, if even you don't want to go back to Godhead, assuming, okay, you say, well, I like it here in the material world. I don't want to go anywhere back to Godhead. This information, this knowledge, transcendental knowledge you're having, is going to guide you against exploitation. And so it is important for us to be able to find also our own time to dive into the Srimad Bhagavatam. We read with scrutiny. It's not that, you know, we have to be backbenchers. You know, in the churches and the mosques and the synagogues, you have find all 99% of the people are backbenchers. They don't find time to read the literatures that they profess to be following. Therefore, it is important for us, each and everyone who is here, you are all being trained to be Brahmins. A Brahmin is one who is situated in knowledge of Brahma. And so it is important that you think of yourself as an exponent of Vedic culture, because you will live here to other parts of the world and being equipped with sufficient knowledge, transcendental knowledge, you'll be able to help other people that you come in contact with so that they also don't become defrauded or exploited. So it's essential for us to become absorbed in knowledge of the producers, understanding what is their basic position, how do they function in trying to maintain this universe in terms of creation, and how to bring about a viable future in society. But this is a technical team. I remember in the first time we joined, you know, when they come and talk, when people start talking about all of this creation stuff and, you know, Mahavishnu and Garbhodakasaya Vishnu and quadruple expansion and another quadruple expansion. I mean, it's so complex, it's so abstract. But, you know, with time, you get, you know, to absorb these things better. So, essentially, we have to be aware that the universal form is there for people who are not very much devotional, who can envisage the Lord in the form of the whole universe, big trees, big cloud. Yes, we know that the Lord is very great, but He also has a personal form in Goloka Vrindavan. And we are aspiring to have association with Him in that personal form in Goloka Vrindavan, transcending the Brahman realization and the Paramatma realization, which are temporary manifestations of the same Supreme Personality of God. Are there some comments or some contributions at this point? Again, thank you for coming. You're very blessed to be in this type of environment. Yes, any comments? You tell me your name if you want to speak, so that instead of having to do ice breaking for everyone to introduce himself, we can just know those who are.
My name is Bhaja Haridas. Now my question is, as Maharaj mentioned that Prabhupada said that we should ask them to show their universal form. But we know from Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said that no one else will be able to see this form anymore. And also Krishna showed this form to Arjuna because he was a great devotee who's completely submitted.
Yeah.
So how can we just challenge? They can say, you are not submissive to me, I won't show.
Yeah. The point is, if someone comes to claim that he is God, and is disputing the fact that Krishna is God, so he wants to take the position of Krishna. If you have not assumed the position of Krishna, you do what Krishna did. I mean, it's like, you know, people said, I'm a Shivite. I remember some time back, again in Nigeria, we were going around collecting donations to build a temple. And we went to one gentleman's home, And he was smoking. And then he just came to the gate with, you know, with some cigarette. And then he didn't even allow us to enter in his gate. And he just told us, I'm a Shivite. Why? Because Shiva smokes ganja, right? So that is the only thing that he picks from, you know, picks from Shiva. But Shiva also drank an ocean of poison. And I'm sure he had not attempted to drink even a drop of poison. So it is very easy. For instance, Krishna, when he manifested on this planet, he did so many things that even to some ethical analysts is immoral. But Krishna, we have to understand who are these people that we are accompanying him in all of this his pastime. They are his devotees who came from the spiritual world. So you can't say that, oh, you talk to this woman, you're too intimate with this woman. But can someone come and tell you you're too intimate with this woman when it's your wife? No. But all of those people who came, who we are playing along with Krishna, they are his servants, his gopis in the spiritual world. So people don't understand the other side of the details, and they just take from the periphery, they take from the artificial aspect what they see. But even what they see, they are not able to make proper evaluation. Pashana pina pashati. Therefore, if people falsely come to claim that they are Krishna, just because Krishna danced with young girls, and they also want to dance with young girls in the dead of night, or with other people's wives in the dead of night, then we have to understand that such a person is a cheat. It is not God. When Krishna was on this planet, he never grew old. He was always Navayovana. He was always appearing sweet 16. When someone is 16, he or she is very attractive. When you're getting older, the aura becomes more and more diminished. But 16, there's a power tussle. If you survive 16, 17, then we know you are blessed. So, if people come to say that they are Krishna and they can't display the universal form, which is, so to say, our litmus test, then we have to reject it. Because if even they say, well, you know, Krishna said, nobody else can see this form. But nobody else has come to claim that he's Krishna. So if you're claiming that you're Krishna, please show me this universal form. Otherwise, I may consider you to be a cheat. So this is the instruction Prabhupada has given to us. And a lot of people have been cheated in the name of religion. That is so terrible. If you go to some countries, people make billions of dollars by establishing a church, by establishing a mosque, by establishing a synagogue. So for one who is equipped with this knowledge, I bet you, we can never be cheated. So thank you for that comment and that inquiry. Yes.
Bhakti very easily.
Yeah, that's what Rupa Goswami said in the Bhakti Samhita Sindhu, not me who said it.
Okay, so how would it be different from now when Krishna gave us bhakti? How would the situation change?
Huh?
How is it like when Krishna gives us bhakti? Like we are practicing bhakti now in the neophyte stage, how will it be different when Krishna gives us bhakti?
Oh, how will it be different? Of course, when you say bhakti, talking about pure bhakti, Krishna prema. But before you get to Krishna prema, there are different stages. So we are already on track. Never mind. Just go on. Okay? If you are in the airplane, sometimes the pilot may put on the lights that buckle your seat belts because he's going to some turbulent area. But you don't jump off the airplane. You just buckle your seatbelt. And gradually you get to your destination. So don't worry, you are in the airplane, you get to your destination, okay?
Thank you. That was a nice inquiry. So, in the absence of any other questions or comments, yes.
Yes, I was recently asked this question by a friend of mine about, he was saying there's so many, he hasn't read any scriptures, but very, he's intelligent, so he was saying there's people who see God in nature, who see God in, basically he was saying the second canto, the impersonalist version, how Sukadeva Goswami starts. So, and he was saying, why can't you accept, like, why can't you just accept these different points of views? He was saying like that. I mean, in the Bhagavatam starts like that, it's, even though, like, so these things are, these conceptions are true, but then there is a complete conception of the personal form. But then there are people, like, especially like students, that they don't like this thing of like, oh, you know, this is one, it's just one way, or this right, is it. Yeah. Like, how do you deal with such
things? Yeah, in the academy, I mean, and it's good that you're raising this up. Because, see, if you are preaching to very literate people, and especially in the academy, you don't present issue just on one perspective. If even you're writing a paper, for instance, you may say, for instance, if you're talking about the three phases of God, or three phases of God realization, you don't just make that arbitrary, but you say, the three phases of God, or three phases of God realization, Vaishnava Vedantic perspective, or Vaishnava Vedantic approach. Because many people don't know about that. All that they know is Brahman, God is present everywhere. Or the part, at least,